this morning my message has to do with blessing. How many of you this morning want to receive God's blessing? All right, I'm sure everyone wants to receive that, right? Especially coming into this new year. And as I've been thinking about, you know, what is one of the most significant ways that we can be able to receive God's blessing? One of the things that I came up with is this message. And so in this message, I wanted to talk about one thing that I remember in the past year as I reflected on how God answered prayers, how God released his healings, his blessings, and his provision. What was it that we were able to do that pleased him the most? Okay, and so this morning I wanted to share about obedience. You know, obedience, more than anything else, releases God's blessings. And I'd like for us to read a couple of scriptures together, and then I'd like to share some practical implications of some of these things. So let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Let's read that together. It says, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." And then here's another scripture in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Let's read that together. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." I especially like this Joshua 1 passage because Joshua was facing a big transition in his life. You know, Moses had just gone home to be with the Lord, and he's a new leader. And so he had to take up the whole mantle of Moses as a leader of Israel, and he had to take them into the promised land. So it was a very big responsibility. And so God wanted to bless him. And so notice what God said. He said that keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, and obey my word. Okay, and so God promised him success. So this morning I wanted to share with you, when we obey the Lord, what type of benefits does it release to us? And I wanted to share that there are at least three significant blessings the Lord will release to you and me when we obey him. So the first benefit is this, is that obedience releases God's presence, his power, and his provisions. Secondly, obedience brings significant victories. Okay, if there's a situation in your life that you need victory in, or, you know, when you obey the Lord, you'll be able to receive that. And then thirdly, obedience releases healings and deliverance. This past year, we've had a lot of people being set free, a lot of people being delivered, and one of the reasons why was obedience. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later. But the first thing is that obedience releases God's presence, power, and provisions. One of my favorite gospels is the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John, and in the Gospel of John, there are two great miracles that Jesus performed. And he performed these miracles simply because people obeyed his word. You know, and these are two of the most notable miracles that Jesus performed in his ministry. First, he changed the water into wine in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. And then also he multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed over 5,000 people. So let's take a note of in John chapter 2, how did he turn the water into wine? So let's read this together in John 2, verse 7 to 9. "Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.' They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine." So I'd like to show you a clip of this from my favorite movie, The Gospel of John. And so we're going to take a look at this, of how Jesus performed this miracle because people obeyed. Okay, let's take a look at this. Now, let me just give a little intro to this as we're waiting for the video to come up. I just want to let you know that a wedding was really significant, you know, and God loves weddings, you know, because, you know, he's the one who created the first wedding. But it was a big embarrassment for the host of the ceremony to run out of wine. You know, that's a tremendous big embarrassment, okay? And so luckily the bride and the groom, they had invited Jesus into the party, you know? So, you know, you always want to invite Jesus into the party, right? Okay? And so it was good that he was there. And so this was one of the most notable miracles that he did. And also it's very symbolic because, you know, the wedding, Jesus wants us to have a relationship with him as his wife. And so, you know, he's there to bless us when there's weddings. So hopefully the video is working. So let's take a look at this. As Johnny is working on that, I want to thank him for manning. We'll go to the next story here, and that is Christ, the feeding of the 5,000. This is another really notable miracle that happened. Melissa, can you go to the next slide, please? Yeah, great. Okay, on the feeding of the 5,000, this is another really big miracle that Jesus did. So let's read this together. And this is based on John chapter 6, verse 5 to 13. Okay, let's read this together. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Andrew, Simon's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Okay, all right. And then Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And there was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over. And what was really amazing about the story is, first, we're really grateful for that young boy. You know, the young boy gave up his lunch. All right, it's a five barley loaves and two fish. And this miracle was recorded in all the Gospels. This is the one miracle, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, and it was just a marvelous miracle. And notice what happened was, you know, Jesus was able to multiply what a generous young boy was willing to give. Okay, so Johnny, are we good? No? Okay. All right, so hopefully later on we can show those clips to you. But one of the things that I wanted to mention through this passage is this. When we give what we have, you know, you might think it's something small, but if you give what you have in obedience to him, then he's going to multiply what we give to him. Right? And so that is something that has given me a lot of encouragement. Okay, you might think it's something small that God wants you to do, but when you obey, then God releases his blessings. Okay. Now, another thing that I wanted to share with you today that I noticed in my years in the ministry that has been really important is tithing. Okay. God really honors obedience when we tithe to him. And let me explain why. Jesus said this to his disciples. "You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and mammon." So, you know, God provided us everything that we have, correct? And he's so generous. So when we give a tenth back to the Lord, we're actually telling God, I honor you as my sovereign Lord and my master, and I do not serve mammon. Okay? So when we give a tenth of what we give back to God, we're saying that, God, you're my sovereign Lord. And then he is so pleased. Now, notice in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, that let's read this together. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now, in all of Scripture, can you remember any other Scripture where God says, test me in this?
You will see much greater things than this.
I'm finding it hard to find any other Scripture, but here is one in Malachi. He says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open, you know, the floodgates of heaven. How many of you would like to receive the floodgates of heaven from the Lord? I'm sure all of you do. Okay? And so I wanted to share with you just a testimony that really encouraged me. And when I was in my seminary days, you know, I had a very small bank account. Okay? And so during that time, I was reading this scripture. And this scripture really encouraged me. Basically, what happened in 1 Kings 17 was the prophet Elisha. Prophet Elisha is a great prophet. Many of his miracles and his deeds, are very similar to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And prophets in those days, they counted upon the generosity and hospitality of people. They did not have their own home or any means of supporting themselves. And so here's this widow, and she sees that Elisha, the prophet, needed a place to stay. So she invited him and also welcomed him to come into her house. Okay, and she was very poor. She had a son, and all she had in her possession in terms of food was a little bit of flour and just a little jar of oil. Okay, and so Elisha said to the widow, please make me a bread with that. And she said, well, I only have a little bit left. But then she said, he told her, go ahead and give it to me and make me that bread. So by faith, she did it. And this is what God promised the widow. He said, the jar of flour would not be used up and the jug of oil would not run dry. And what was so amazing is that this little flour and little oil, you know, every time she needed to make something, it never ran dry. Okay? And so God assured me when I was in seminary of the same thing. He said that your little bank account will never run dry like that widow's little jar of flour and oil. And, you know, God was so faithful. When I gave to God, you know, the next week, you know, someone that I don't know would come and say, hey, Pastor Harry, I want to bless you with this. Or my relative would do the same thing. I just this past week when we were celebrating Christmas, you know, I did not tell any of my relatives anything, but my aunt yesterday, I went to visit her and she gave me a little card, and then inside was a little gift. It says, you know, a check of such and such amount for a new computer. Okay. And I was really blown away because I never told my aunt that I needed a new laptop, okay? But I just knew that every month I wanted to faithfully obey the Lord. And to my big surprise, you know, I got that. And I shared it with my wife, and she was very happy because I kept telling her I need a new laptop. And God finally provided. But you know what was so amazing was I never told my aunt that. So I have no idea how she knew that, okay? But God knew, see? And so the same with all of you guys is that if you faithfully give to the Lord, he's going to give you back, okay? So he's going to provide for you. And the second benefit of obedience is it brings significant victory. And so one of the most encouraging stories in the Old Testament was God's instructions to Joshua on how to conquer Jericho. Now, let me give you a backdrop of this. Joshua, you know, he's like the prototype of Jesus. He's the one that is going to go to the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan, you know, there were giants in the land. I mean, these enemies were powerful, okay? And one of the biggest fortress was that of Jericho. You know, and so anybody who wanted to go and try to conquer the Canaanites, you know, they have to go through Jericho. But this is what God said to Joshua. Let's read this together. This is from Joshua 6, verse 2 to 5. It says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. And then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everybody straight in." Now, does this sound like very strange military strategy to you? I mean, wouldn't you think about, yeah, everybody charge in and wipe everybody out, you know? But then, no, this is what God said to Joshua. You first, what do? You march around the city once with all the armed men, and then do it for 6 days, and all the priests blow the trumpet, the horns, you know, their trumpet blasts. And then on the seventh day, on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times, and then give a loud shout. Okay, and so what happened is the walls came tumbling down. Okay, all the walls came tumbling down, and then the people in the city of Jericho, they were so scared because they thought, wow, this is impregnable. And what happened? And they saw the power and presence of God. You know, and so fear gripped all the enemy, and then Joshua and his men were able to go and conquer the land. So I thought this was a really good story, because sometimes God may tell us things and it may not make sense to our human wisdom. You know, we might be thinking, why would God tell us to do that? But notice what Joshua did. Joshua wasn't like Moses. You know, Moses would grumble against the Lord, and Moses would say, "Why will you have me do this?" But Joshua did. He just simply obeyed. You know, and he did exactly what God told him to do. And I chose this picture because it shows the walls just came crashing down. You know, when right after he obeyed, all these supernatural victory happened, and they were able to conquer over Jericho. And the same with us. When we trust the Lord, when we trust in his wisdom and his authority and his power, we just listen and obey, it releases great victory. Releases great victory. Okay? Now, the third thing is obedience releases God's healing and deliverance. So this is a story that I really like in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. And this is a story of the paralyzed man. So Jesus sees this paralyzed man, and then he said, "Get up, take up your mat, and go home." Okay? And the man, what did he do? He says he got up, and then he went home. Simple act of obedience. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. They praised God who has given such authority to man. And I like this picture here. It shows Jesus just moved with compassion, talking to this cripple, this beggar, okay, and this beggar was amazing. He just followed Jesus, and he said, "Get up and pick up your mat and walk," and then he got up, and he was healed. So many times this past year, I was thinking about how did people get healed, how did people get delivered, and it was this: it's because they obeyed. Okay, no matter what the instructions were, you know, whether it's to confess their sins, to give up something to God, or to break a stronghold, when people obeyed, then they got healed. So let's take a look at this scripture here in James chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Let's read this together. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." That's from James 5, 14 and 15. Now, I want to share this with you. You know, I've been praying for people for healing for a number of years now. But still, sometimes I still get gripped with fear a little bit, or I get nervous. You know, sometimes I think, is this really going to happen when I pray for people? But then, you know, I just kind of swallow that fear, and I say to the Lord, Lord, you want me to do it, and I'm just going to do it. And you just got to show up. And that's the train of thought that goes on in my mind. And so last week we had three visitors come on Wednesday, and we prayed for Jim, Judy, and Connie. And I'd like to ask, I'd like to ask Sam to give a little testimony about what happened.
Hello everybody, and it's a privilege to come up here. As you can see, I'm also in the photo. So Judy is my aunt. She's known me since I was a baby when I got my butt slapped, you know, I was crying. And so she's seen me when I was born until now. She's been a part of my whole life. Jim is her husband. He's on the far left. And then Connie is right in the middle between my aunt Judy and Jim. So I believe in miracles. That's why, you know, I showed up and I asked Pastor Howard. I said, you know, you've had some success healing people in the past. Could you please pray for my aunt who has a bulging disc experiencing neuropathy in her right leg? Now, what do you do, though, if God doesn't heal the way you want him to, per se? I think some of us experience some disappointment, right? And you're like, why God? But let me go ahead and provide a little more context. So, and Connie, who's in the middle, she's her neighbor of my aunt, and she has completely no cartilage, basically, in her knees. She needs to do basically knee replacement surgery for her right and left knees. And so she can barely walk, even with a cane. And Jim was experiencing some back pain. So what we did is we initially just started just praying, setting our hearts right. Kendra was there, as you can see in the picture as well. And then we sat my aunt down, and we're just praying for her back, praying for her leg. And it took a while, but she said her pain started to reduce. And then she got up, and then she's like, she felt like she was healed, and she's like, praise the Lord. And then we're like, great, praise the Lord. And then she sat back down, and then we started praying for Connie. And Connie, like, I don't know if it's because she comes from the Catholic faith, nothing against the Catholics, but I didn't sense like she had that faith, like, oh, I really believe that I can be healed. But so we asked her on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being the most painful, 1 being the least painful, you know, where's her pain? She said she started with a 7. So we're like, oh, wait, you know, this is going to be pretty hard. I was worried a little bit. I was like, what do we do? She has no cartilage in her knees. So we start praying. And we're like, how you doing? She goes, I feel like I'm a 5 now. Okay, great. So we keep praying. Maybe a 4 now. And then praying. About a 3. And it seemed to not go away completely. So we're like, okay, well, we've tried. And then we go to Jim. And his back pain is intermittent. So it's hard to say what exactly happened with Jim. But he did feel like some sort of relief. I don't know if it was emotional of sorts, but he felt relief. And so during this time when I was even sitting here listening to Pastor Howard, I was squirming in my seat thinking, how am I going to finish this off? How is this going to end, this testimony, where it sounds a little bit incomplete? It sounds a little disappointing. I'm not disappointed in Pastor Howard or Kendra or myself, you know, for that matter, for we tried. We all tried. We all prayed. I'm just thinking, what does this mean? God's leaving us kind of like a little shorthanded, I feel. We have the faith. My aunt, for example, one morning, she woke up with her hand like this because she had like sudden arthritis. And she's a stubborn woman, and she will pray and say, God, you're going to heal me. And believe it or not, I'd say about a week or two later, that thumb that was like this became like this. So my aunt definitely has faith to be healed. There's no doubt about that. So the question is, why God? Why? When? What do we do? I still struggle with this. So, as I was sitting there, like I said, I believe God was telling me. Remember the story of Jacob. And Jacob wrestled with God. And then Jacob's name, one of the patriarchs, right, of Israel, was changed to Israel, which literally means wrestle in God or to strive with God. In this room, if you are considered a believer, you're also an Israelite of like a modern nature, right? Metaphorically, in a sense. So our deal here, whether it's wrestling with God per se, or wrestling with ourselves or amongst each other, is to strive and not to give up. So then I asked my aunt, because she's not still even completely healed. She did experience pain relief at the time. I said, so what are you going to do? She goes, I'm going to keep praying. She says, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to struggle on. And I heard that. I was encouraged by my aunt. Because most of the time you want to say, God, do it like this. And sometimes he doesn't. And he actually may never will. And are you okay with that? And personally, it's not cool, but I'll have to be okay with that. So I just want to say praise God, and I like the fact that Pastor Howard and crew tried. So thank you very much.
And I just wanted to tell Sam that the story is not over yet, right? So you know, we just keep on trying and keep on believing. And, you know, I believe that God's going to heal Jim, Judy, and Connie. But I just wanted to say this to you, that when we were praying for Jim, Judy, and Connie, I mean, I wasn't really sure exactly what was going to happen. But, you know, I just pressed on in faith, and I just believe God, you know, you're the healer. You can do all things, and we're just going to obey. And so I really praise God that, you know, for these people, the pain level went down. And I believe that God is going to honor their faith. So this morning, I'd like to leave you with this, is are you willing to step out in faith? And I believe this year, my friends, that when you obey the Lord, he's going to release God's presence and his power and provisions. Okay, and when you obey, he will provide. Also, when you obey, he's going to bring significant victories. Okay, sometimes he might be withholding things, because he wants to see if you're going to obey him or not. Okay, and when you take that step of faith, say, God, I'm going to obey. I'm going to trust in you. And then that is going to open the door for that victory to come. And then also, obedience releases God's healings and deliverance. I've seen this so many times for people. Like, God may be directing them. You know, you need to deal with this stronghold in your life, or you need to release your bitterness or anger and hatred, or you need to forgive this person. Okay, and when they obeyed, and then there was a big breakthrough that happened. So I'd like to ask the worship team to come up at this time, and I also like to ask the prayer intercessors to come up at this time. And so what I want to leave you with this this morning, in the message this morning, is my friends, are you willing to obey the Lord? Now, there might be some of you today, you know, God has been tugging at your heart. God has been saying something to you. Maybe it's to forgive a person, or maybe it's to trust him in some way, Lord. Or maybe you need to release some of your bitterness and anger, okay, that you have against someone in your family. Or else maybe God might be telling you that you need to pray more, or you need to just trust in him more. But whatever God is telling you to do, I believe today that when you obey, that God will release his blessings, and God will release his presence and provisions. Okay. So I'd like to just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you that you're the sovereign Lord, and you're the healer, and you're the provider. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you want to pour out your blessings upon us. And Lord, you want to pour out your healing and deliverance and provisions. Lord, we are willing to trust in you. We're willing to obey. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing for each one of us here for this new year, that we will experience more of your power, more of your presence, and more of your provisions. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.